The geometry of the place was all wrong. One could not be sure that the sea and ground were horizontal. You're listening to Cthulhu and Friends, starring Stacy, Mike, Fred, and Steph. I am your game master, Veronica.
Okay, hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Cthulhu and Friends. I am the game master. My name is Veronica, and it is a pleasure to be here with you. I've actually never been more excited.
Like, never ever?
Hello, Michael.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I play Todd B.
I am Stacy, and I play Bellamy.
Ka-ka!
And I'm Steph, and I play Clara.
Hey everybody, this is Fred, and I play Detective Edwards.
Yes.
Oh wait, Detective is that Edwards. Not my name?
No,
that's what everybody else calls me.
That's what Todd calls you for sure.
Okay, I hate to tell everyone this, but we are actually not playing the game today. We're gonna do a little recap for everyone because we've played a lot of episodes, and typically we try and kind of pause in the middle and recap, get everyone on the same page. But I also think this is going to be really good for our investigators as well. Just saying.
So we can, like, share notes.
The last time that we saw you guys, you were in the elevator cutting tension with a knife, and... Then the door opened. So in this moment that you're all just sort of sitting there, maybe we're just recounting all of the things that have happened in St. Paxton. And so this is that time. It's the longest elevator ride ever.
Oh, my God.
I like the idea of, like, elevator music playing in the background, and we're all just kind of, like, waiting to, like, get to our floor. And we're just like, Lots have happened lately.
Yeah.
Oh, please, hero, make our dreams come true. So, what do you guys remember? What, in your perspective, what has happened, Clara?
Like, from the beginning?
Just lay it on me. What do you remember?
Oh, God.
The last time. Oh, wait.
So... I mean, if we're going all the way back from the beginning, we all kind of met up on the beach.
No. Oh, my God. No.
What you said from the beginning. Okay. Where do you want me to start?
Getting on this island.
Okay. So.
And having memories.
So we get on the island and we meet Patty, who is very annoying.
Patty, annoying. I'm writing it all down.
Great. And then we go to Malsado Lago.
Malsado Lago.
Yeah.
Sounds fancy.
There's our little D&D symbol was on the carriage that we rode in to get there. And...
All right, cool. I can see that most of this game has been wasted on you. Edward, what was your perspective?
Well, obviously, we're here to solve the mystery of where our good friend Darius is gone. As we scratch the surface, we realize there's something very magical and mystical about this island, and it's possibly all to the doing of Darius. From what we understand, a long time ago, Darius came to this island, found a huge deposit of gold or something similar, dug it up, and created this amazing little town that we're in. What we found is that we have quite possibly either have come from the future or the past. We have possibly lived this timeline several times, and it's very perplexing to us. We haven't really figured that out yet, but there is evidence of it in the library in St. Paxton. There's also been kind of like rumors or hints that there might be some kind of magic or powers that we possess, especially from my dream, where we are supposed to really kind of dig and find out more, or try to, I think it was like revamp the magic before it wanes or goes away. There's a lot of craziness in regards to people disappearing and dying, which is kind of the first time for the people here. And we believe that it is maybe the island itself or the original inhabitants of the island that Darius has been, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, feeding. And unless we continue to satiate the hunger of this being, power, this entity, they will continue to take it upon themselves to take citizens of St. Paxton.
That's enough out of you.
All right.
Good God.
Damn, that's really good.
Too many notes. I've got five stickies here. Todd, from your perspective, what was missing from those two synopses?
It's sneeze. It's like geese. When you have multiple synopses, it just becomes sneeze.
Sneeze.
Are you fucking for real?
No, it's a murder of synopsis.
He's got such a straight face, though. Looking at him, I was like, he's serious. But then he just started sipping his drink, and I was like, he's lying.
He should all run right for mayor.
So, we have the alien posing as a bird that's a time traveler with her master pet, Clem. Then we have that Clem and Lily somehow know Darius, who has disappeared almost without a trace, except for, you know, he left a lot of traces like letters and things. But there's a lot of things that he didn't mention and we didn't know about until, like, suddenly we have the magistrate of justice. We have all these other kind of people coming in who we don't remember hearing about or seeing at any time. We have a magic librarian that has all sorts of tomes on things that we were doing that we haven't done yet. That Todd theorizes the time traveler obviously takes us in the past. That's how we do it.
Okay, great.
Additionally, he has not gone on a single date yet.
No dates. This is great. I really enjoy hearing everyone's perspective. And kind of like the things that stuck out to them as the most important. You'll notice that I left someone out because Stacy takes diligent notes. And so I wanted to kind of see what it was before we bring in the note master.
Oh, I feel a very lot of pressure on me right now.
Wait, didn't you she scribble them all out?
Oh. I did. Oh, I meant to take a picture and show that to Twitter what had happened. I'm still going to do it.
What had happened was...
Okay.
My audio was saved.
When Fred keyed up and was like, wait, you're taking it on paper? Like, no!
So, first, Bellamy is still thinking about Todd's horrendous outfit. And the fact that he ate that nasty crunch, she just cannot, I can't get it out of my head. But also, this is a weird segue, but moving back to the dead missing girl is, where do we go from here and what leads do we have? Her mother's in a hospital, the island is being overtaken by Plantimals? that we have no idea really how to handle, except that supposedly Alan does and he's here. We have to know what his business is in this. Those books contain versions of stories, and there's, of course, a lingering moment on a certain relationship, and
Which one was that?
It's definitely the one possible wedding between Clara and Edward. And then the necklaces, which she looks down and holds the item that the symbol is on, because it's still around her neck, and thinks about the symbol that is also branded on Clara's face, and how that all ties into this as well.
Okay. Wow. None of these are relevant to the main story.
I absolutely fucking quit.
I am just kidding. These are all extraordinarily relevant to the main story. I'm glad to kind of have heard your perspectives on this. So I wanted this to be a little bit different than what we normally do. I didn't want to do a Q&A. I also didn't want to do like a full recap, but really kind of have you get in the moment of what your character's seeing. And I did put Clara on the spot.
So I do have other thoughts.
If you have additional thoughts, please feel free to share them.
So I think currently the forefront in Clara's mind is these planimals and the manifests and how they connect. Because when we don't sign the manifests, people die or go disappearing. The planimals, if they're not fed, they spread looking for food. So I think that's kind of the biggest worry in my mind, mm-hmm. that somehow these planimals are taking over or taking back their island. Like, maybe they were all there before, and Darius somehow pushed them away.
Okay. So, the elevator ride seems to just keep on going.
God damn it.
It's really weird. What, you're going to the fourth floor? Who even cares? So you guys have kind of thought all of these things. Your mind is sort of racing. Is there anything that, while you're here anyways, does anyone want to say or talk about something? If not, this will be a super short episode.
I don't know if it's so much something Edward wants to discuss, but one thing I didn't mention in my recap was there is definitely in the back of his mind, on top of just everything that we're doing, he is consistently thinking about the knowledge he gained from the books about his and Clara's wedding, and possibly in a past life or in a past timeline, them being married. And he wants to talk to her about it, but I think he's struggling with it because he just doesn't know. He's afraid of rejection. And that's why it's been super awkward between Edward and Clara, especially with these other, you know, people being in these conversations. Like with what was the character's name? Was it Sam?
Oh, Sam Kempthorne.
Yeah. and just like
the good boy Sam.
Yeah, and just a good seeing name. Other men flirt with her, he just gets like not like rage jealous, but like really insecure, where he just like, okay, I want to avoid this, like I don't know how to deal with my emotions, kind of thing.
Fucking
and I think
Katie,
that's a lot of fun for me.
Fucking Katie with a D. Yeah, Clara is all about avoiding talking about her emotions, so I don't know.
Gee,
how
that's
much.
That's not canonical.
Right?
Canonical.
Canonical?
Yeah, I was like, what? canonical?
Yeah, and she's definitely nervous about the topic coming up. And Todd had the idea that this was our future and we went back to the past. And so the wedding pictures are our future in the timeline. But I think Claire's kind of thinking, what if it's the past and we just don't remember it? And so somehow they've already had this wedding that she doesn't even remember. But at the same time, being totally scared to tell Edward how she feels. So
from the GM's perspective, I really love hearing the different takes that all of you have on the books themselves, but especially that particular scene. Of course, it was one that I really built up, right? But I love the idea that, like, I know what I initially thought about that entire thing, right? But I love that you guys have, like, different theories about that, because I'm like, oh, that is really good. Why didn't I think of that? You know, like, it's so good and I love it and it's so wonderful. I think it's so fun for the players to be able to contribute. And what's great is that because there are so many questions in the canon and because nothing is established, I get to change it to whatever I think is right. And so it's so cool. And it's one of the things that I love about tabletop role-playing games is that we're all just collaboratively creating the story together. So I think it's really fun.
Can I just say,
yeah,
like, how screwed Todd is going to be?
Why?
Because, I mean, well, because his focus is on, like, scientific laws. And so he's like, okay, these things are happening. It's unavoidable that something hasn't happened. But how? Yeah. Are we experiencing some sort of, like, gravity waves that are affecting time? How is this time? Like, there's all these things. And so he's just bemused by the whole, like, oh, okay, all right, I'm going to figure this out. This is all just nobody understands. I'll figure it out and then it'll be awesome. He'll solve the puzzle.
It's a logic puzzle to you.
Yeah. And I don't think he's going to find the answer. Or at least not the one he's looking for.
That's so funny. So in our group Slack, we had talked a little bit about kind of the game that we're playing and how do you guys level up and how do you replenish these points that you're spending. So in Trail of Cthulhu, which is what we're playing now, you have to get to the end of your mystery. You have to solve that mystery. And one of the things I wanted to share with the listeners as well was kind of what I had mentioned to you guys in Slack. And it's not so much like revealing a hand so much as I just kind of wanted to put this out there because we have new players, we have a new world, and everything is just different. And I wanted to, you know, just share some stuff with you guys. So I'm scrolling back. Sorry. Because I want to make sure I don't miss anything.
Good luck.
Please feel fucking free to cut this.
Ding, 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 ding. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum. How about that Oprah, huh? Super sweet lady.
Oh,
she was
great.
Oh my gosh,
yeah. Giving us all mints. And
yeah. How about that Sam? Sam was great.
Yeah, no. He
liked
not so
painting.
Great.
He seemed very supportive of art.
Yeah, he liked art. It's really good art things, Edward.
You know, I love art.
What's your favorite art,
about
Edward?
Loving art.
I like art.
I found my message.
I like it because Steph and Fred were humming the song together and swaying on the camera, and then it was like this weird interlude of conversation that had to go awkward again.
We do awkward real well. That's great.
It reminded me of the moment between Pam and Roy when he's like trying to compliment her art and he's like, your art is the best art.
Yes.
In this. I was like, oh my. Okay. So here's what I'm saying. So you guys don't just have the one investigation going on, and people probably play Trail of Cthulhu differently than I do, and good for you if you do. I hope you're having a great time. This is the way that I am playing it. So after you finish a mystery, you're able to regain some of your points, you know, all this good stuff. In order to not help you do that, I'm not giving you one mystery at a time or one case at a time. Presently, you guys have 5 cases. So what you guys decide to do with those is totally up to you. You can let some of those go. You can regroup, prioritize, and figure all those things out. So in game, that's probably something that you guys probably want to do at some point. But yeah, that's it.
So, and I've been wondering about that. Is there kind of like one like overarching mystery, and then there are several smaller mysteries that if we're able to solve maybe some of the smaller mysteries, we could then regain those points and quote unquote level up? Yeah,
absolutely. So, of course, the smaller mysteries can lead into all of the bigger mysteries that are happening as well. So they all sort of connect to each other, but it's very easy, at least in this game, to spread yourself out and spread yourself so thin that nothing actually gets solved and you die.
Okay.
Let's not do that.
That escalated really good, quickly, and I hate it.
Now's a really good time to let you know that I'm the type of person that, like, ignores the main quest for, like, as long as possible and completes all the side quests.
Listen. So long as we complete the side quests and we can heal.
Yeah.
250 hours logged in Skyrim, just saying.
Still don't know about those dragonborn up on the mountain.
Listen, you guys are describing my real life, so please stop. So anyways, yeah, that's kind of all I really wanted to convey to you. I'm sorry, dear listener, if this is the most boring episode you've ever listened to. But yeah, that's just sort of what I wanted to do tonight was go over some of what you guys have been through. If you guys have questions that you don't understand about the game mechanics, if there are story questions that you need clarification on, let me know.
Listeners, if you could send us your thoughts on what you think the five mysteries are, we definitely don't need the help, but would probably read your responses. Just saying, at CF Podcast. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
just for funsies.
That's a great idea. That's a great way to get yourself killed.
Fire. Yeah, listeners, don't do it.
That was a terrible idea, Mike.
What?
Look, I think it's super important that we focus on the most important mystery about
the wedding.
How a bad person Sam is and trying to figure out, what his motives are. He's obviously a bad person.
I think his motives were just to be helpful and a good gardener.
A little helpful.
Well, that was his only motivation. I would like to know what happened to James Vanderbeek when his shop disappeared.
I would like to address this immediately. One of the things that these people do to me is they know that I don't write down character names like for my NPCs, which is why we have blessed names like the boss and Nighthawk, things of this nature. I think the only character in which I gave a ton of thought to was naming Tess. That's it. That's the only character I've been like, oh yeah, for sure. And of course, like 42, right? But for the most part, these like throwaway NPCs, I don't give them a whole lot of thought. And so, I don't know. If you are a listener of this podcast and you've ever gone to a store and maybe not seen the person's name tag, let me know if you're the type of person that would ask, hey, what's your name? What about your last name?
What street are you from?
Yeah, what street are you from?
What if I am the type of person who does that?
I just like to introduce
imagine
ourselves.
That you're
then send
a
me a video of you doing it.
Living challenge in accepted. Bird world. What would you do? And that's obviously ask everyone.
Maybe
about
that's
their
what they do
history.
In Bird World. That's their cultural
is that what you've experienced?
Norm.
That's why we're all okay with it being destroyed.
Wait, who was James Vanderbeek again?
Like, he's the one, the shop that disappeared, and he sold us the.
He's the fat watch shop.
Next to Katie.
Yeah. Huh?
Next to Katie.
Yeah, next to fucking Katie's. Place.
I will say I did give thought to Katie's name.
The D is for destruction.
Gosh.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, crippling fears? Maybe that's what we should name this episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. I have a lot of questions, but they're not, like, in context very helpful.
Well, I've got loads of questions, but they're things we're going to have to solve, like, in-game. It's not okay. Things we're going to just answer. Like, what are the five mysteries?
Well, let's get to it in the next episode of Cthulhu and Friends. It has been an honor to be your question answerer, and you can find me at Typical Veronica. And we don't do this anymore, so... All right. And stopping the recording.
Oh, no. That was quick.
This episode was produced and edited by Hiroshi, and the opening and closing theme was created by Rob Anderson. Find them on Twitter, at MaybeHiroshi, and at PotentiallyRob. You can find the rest of the crew on Twitter as well. V is at TypicalVeronica, Mike is at OneGamingLane, Fred is at I Think I'm Fred, Steph is at Starlit Firefly, and you can find me at Definitely Stacy. As always, you can follow the show as CAF Podcast and find a permanent link to the Discord in our bio. Want to take a look at the clues, information, or photos the cast stumbled upon during the recording? Head on over to our website at www.cafpodcast.com and click on the link labeled The Show at the top of the screen. If you want to help support the show, please share us with your friends on your preferred social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also back us on Patreon by going to www.patreon.com/CAFpodcast. If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out some of the other Geekly Inc. shows, such as Drunks and Dragons, Brute Force, or Inks and Issues.
So I want to talk about how crazy it is that, you know, I used to be a fan of Cthulhu and Friends, and now I am on Cthulhu and Friends. And that's because of our wonderful backers on Patreon, like Daniel Vassard, Mark Rowe, and Cody Boker. It's people like you that makes the dream come alive. So thank you for your support, and keep on tuning in.